find the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Let me read it to you. It says, therefore we do not give up, even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge that you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Lord, remind me that of our gathering here this hour, I'm the one under a greater, a more strict judgment because I'm a teacher of your word, and I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. As you know, we've been through the summer talking on discipleship, looking at models of discipleship. Remember, discipleship is not just being in the Word, it's the Word being in you. It goes both ways. Secondly, discipleship is you're duplicating yourself. When I teach somebody else how to duck hunt, I have just discipled them in duck hunting. I have reproduced myself in that. Discipleship is just reproducing other believers and how they walk with Christ, using life situations to be able to teach them that. I want to give you a picture today of you. In this little section, these three verses, I want to give a picture of you. And then I want to give you a picture of the promises that our Lord gives us. And we're going to be reading in Paul. Paul's one who wrote Corinthians. And Paul didn't look at this life. He didn't look for the glory of God here. Paul was looking for the glory of God in eternity, not here. Here's a man who'd been beaten, imprisoned, whipped, flogged, shipwrecked, snake bitten. Everything you can imagine happened to him. And he persevered through all those things. Eventually, he was beheaded under Nero, the emperor, for his faith in Christ. But Paul would say, my glory is not here. So today, I'm going to do my best to encourage you to not look for the glory that I'm going to have here. We live in tough days. Life is tough, and we're going to talk about that for a moment. But then I'm going to show you what Paul is saying about the promises of God to the glory that God has for us. In the early verses of chapter 4, I'm going to just give you a summary, and then we'll get into the text that I gave you just a minute ago. In the early verses of chapter 4, he says, don't give up. Don't give up the faith. Keep it. Paul says this again in another letter. I've fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. So he's encouraging you here in these early verses, just don't give up. There are times you're going, God's not listening to me. God's not answering my prayers. Where is he gone? He's abandoned me. That's what the psalmist said. It doesn't mean that Jesus is abandoning us. It just feels like it sometimes. And in that is, where is he? I'm going through difficult times. If Jesus were really real, he really loved me, I wouldn't have difficult times, which is not true either. It's not true at all. It means that he is with us. I'm reminded by an old country preacher that told me, that said, Jeff, when you have a bad day and you think it's a really bad day and the world's caving in on you, number one, you've never had the weight of the world's sin on you, and you've not been beaten as savagely and flogged and crucified like Jesus has. So he said, try to figure out your worst day and compare it to his worst day and see what a comparison that will be. We even sing a song that talks about the tough times of life, and it says, just reflect, even though you're going through suffering, reflect on what he has done for you, even on the cross. So we don't give up our faith. We don't give up on that. He says in the early verses, our lives are to display truth. Let there be no deception about you whatsoever. None. No deception. You don't live with a mask on, where You're living one way and you're living another. James writes this, I think, wonderfully. He said, don't be a double-minded person, which the language really means a double-souled person, like you're two people. And James warns us that double-minded people are unstable, not in some of their ways, but in all their ways. It's hard to trust a double-minded person. They're unstable in the way they even act, think, react, and all that's involved in that. The early verses of chapter 4, he challenges us to, the gospel is veiled to some people. They're living a life and it's like there's a veil. They don't see what you see because there's a veil. What they see is distorted, grainy. They just don't, you could explain it to them and they just don't see it that way. And he says that people who are perishing, they haven't perished yet, but they're in the process of perishing. They don't see what we see, those who are following Christ. And he said the veil that's over their eyes is put there by the God of this age. The God of this age is Satan. And he has blinded people. Now, you need to understand something. If you want to pray for people, pray that the Lord would remove the veil. I have learned that. The veil is put there by the enemy. And Paul says it very clearly in these early verses. The veil is put there by the enemy. They don't see what you see. You've got to pray that the veil be removed. Let's go back to Hank Williams for a moment. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy. No sorrow in sight. Yee-haw, right? Praise the Lord. I saw the light. What does that mean? It means the veil has been removed. I don't see life in a grainy way anymore. I see it a little more clearer. But I see it through Scripture and truth. And we pray. What do we pray? We pray that people see the light. Pray that the Lord will remove the veil from their eyes. One of the early verses of chapter 4 is a reminder that our task is not to proclaim ourselves. It is to proclaim Christ. And we proclaim him as Lord. He's Lord. And very distinctly, Paul says that in the early verses. Make sure you project Christ as Lord. And then he says, we project ourselves as servants. So that's why there's not a lot of titles at Hope Church, because people can get jacked up with titles. And what I'm a servant. I project myself as a servant. He says, your body's getting old. Amen. But God will empower you. He will show himself through you. Let me show you a verse here in the early verses, 2 Corinthians 4:8. It says, we are pressured in every way. Any amens out there? But not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Life's tough. Life is difficult. Even on your best day, it's difficult. It can be difficult. And if we're not careful, we will live a life of just running away from responsibility. If I were to tell you that it's possible for you to live a life with a day with no responsibility, you'd take it, wouldn't you? But I can't promise you that day. You know why? Because that day doesn't exist. We just have to be really honest. We escape and run thinking I can get to a place where there's no responsibility. Would you please tell me where that is on this planet? I've not found it yet. I'm 58 years old. You go, well, you will find it. I bet I don't. And if we're not careful, we will hopefully or try and work our fingers to the bone to design a life where I have less responsibility. Let me tell you what we've taught our children. And they hated it. They hated every minute of it. I halfway enjoyed it. Every year you get older, the more responsibility you're going to have. I've got more responsibility at 58 than I did when I was 57. And when I turn 59, I'm going to have more responsibility there. And there's a part of me that wants to flee to a spot where there's no responsibility, where I can go through a day and have somebody go, not ask me, Jeff, can you? Jeff, will you? Jeff, do you? Jeff, have you? You know? You all counsel me. Am I going to find that day? No. No. Let me tell you one reason I'm not going to find that day. My task is to keep the faith. My greatest task of responsibility is to keep the faith. When Tom died, tough. Talked to a man this morning before the service. His 21-year-old daughter-in-law passed away. It's tough. It's tough. There's times you want to close up. You know, I've told you, Lord, if you're going to heal anybody, you ought to heal the preacher's son-in-law, right? I mean, look what all I've done for you. Of course, he reminded me of what all he had done for me. Right? Keep the faith, Jeffro. Tom's okay. He is okay. I got to keep the faith. Somebody said, you're a different preacher since Tom died. I better be. Right? I better be. I shouldn't be a weaker preacher because Tom died. I ought to be a stronger preacher. And I can go longer because I'm 60 pounds lighter than I used to be. Yeah, well, I'll get Pentecostal here and run up and down the aisle and run over Brian Carter back there. So jump him. I'll just jump you, Brian. How about that? What's my task? Keep the faith. Don't give up. That's my task. Fight the battle. Fight it as a good fight. Stay in the race. Keep the faith. Keep it going because we will want to run away. I was meeting with a group of church planters in Lexington the other day, and I'm starting to do that a little often, and some of them are different denominations, and one of them, we got to talking about how even in that quest for responsibility, that people will run away from it in the church too. You know, we want to get to a place. What's happened is you've taken too much responsibility in the world and not enough in the kingdom. Does that make sense? Can I say it that way? And it seems like the kingdom responsibilities are the ones that are slacking because we're in such a rush to keep worldly responsibilities that we're not keeping kingdom responsibilities. And these younger guys are looking at me, you know, like, what do you do? And I go, man, all I know to do is crawl back in, roll my sleeves up, and start discipling people all over again. I can assume you know how to keep the kingdom and live the kingdom life, but I can't assume it anymore. I'm just going to have to roll up the sleeves, get in the trenches with you, and then we start working it out together. Where's the tension? What's going on? How can I help you? How can you help me? We can encourage because it's really going to be about getting in the trenches and reminding each other we have got to keep the faith. This old world's tough. On our best day, it's still tough, but I want to tell you, the promises of our Lord are incredibly sweet. And that's a lot what discipleship does, is remind us to live in those promises. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. I'm going to the very end of the verse. We're going 16 through 18, but I'm using the end to set up the whole sermon today. When we do the sermon today, I want you to have two columns, and I'm going to deal with your left or right. They won't be on the screen, so you're going to have to use your creative imagery in your head, all right? There's going to be a column of temporary and a column of eternal, all right? I did your left or right instead of my left or right. Column for temporary and a column for eternal. We're going to put everything in these verses in one of the two columns. So we get it from here. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. And I want to remind you, what is unseen is more real than the chairs you're sitting in. It's more real than the building that you're in. Here's the point. The point is this. The point is that the unseen has lived and existed longer than what you're a part of right now. Absolutely. The unseen is more real. The unseen has lasted longer because people come to me with what they would term supernatural stories. Would you believe it? I would go, yeah, I believe it. I really like living more in the unseen world than any other part of it. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. So we got the two columns from this verse. And let's look at verse 14 or verse 16, and we'll start doing the columns. Therefore, we do not give up. We're keeping the faith. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. So in the temporary column, we're going to put the outer person. Temporary. On the eternal column, we're going to put the inner person. Now, when I see this, there's an outward versus the inward. The outer is being destroyed, so being destroyed is also a phrase meaning wasting away. So wasting away, being destroyed, is going to be in the temporary column. And then we're going to find being renewed is going to be in the eternal column. Now, when I read that one line, you're going to have to forgive me, okay? I can't help it. I can't turn this off. I wish I could. Even though the outer person is being destroyed, a song from my childhood or a line of it is, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. Okay? I mean, our bodies are decaying right before our eyes. It's happening. Now, you can do what you want to, but it's not going to return to certain ages that we want it to, like commercials may tell us that it's going to. And my outer person is decaying before me and before you. Scripture says this. Scripture is not against being physically fit, but Scripture says spiritual fitness is more beneficial than physical fitness. And it does say that. Now, it doesn't say don't be physically fit. It just says spiritual fitness is better off for you than to be physically fit. And there's just things, I mean, I use a handrail, you know, in private. When I'm with you, I won't. Okay? The handrail's there for a reason. I'm going to start using it for a little bit of balance. Things just aren't what they used to be. I'm temporary, okay? This is temporary. It's temporary. Some of you like Southern gospel music, and it's good that you do, but the cathedrals used to have a song called This Old House. This Old House. Talking about how this old house is going to be dilapidated and fall down and all that. So let's just settle the outer person, me and you, the physical shell that we live in, is in the temporary column. The inward person is in the eternal column, and that's who we're becoming. Let me help you out here. The outside is decaying, but my maturity in Christ is being revved up, no pun intended. Do I have to explain the pun there? Some of you, I'm going to have to explain the pun there. Revved up, you got it? You got it in there? All right, good. I hope you see that, feel it. I told a joke this morning back there. I'm going to tell it, JM. You care if I tell it? I can't help it. I love corny jokes. It says you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs because you might step in a poodle. How's that? Feel free to use that. There's more, I'll stop. So the outside of me is decaying. But guess what the eternal part of me is doing? Revving up. It's being renewed. What's happening inwardly is I'm figuring out what's temporal and eternal. I'm figuring it out. Everything in that parking lot out there is temporary. It's all temporary. All of us, the shell that we were given to live in is temporary. This building's temporary. That chair's temporary. Temporary. I'm looking more forward to glory than I've ever looked in my life. You're going to say, because Tom's there. That's not why. It's because my Lord is there. I recognize him as Lord. He is there. So we get into the inward part of me, is the maturity part of me, it's learning, it's catching on, it's getting excited about the promises of God that are there. Younger me it was a beginning of revving up. It was a beginning, but I was still looking more toward the seen. My focus was on the seen instead of the unseen. As our focus moves to the unseen, the inner you is being renewed day by day. So the outer person's temporary, the inward is eternal. The wasting away or being destroyed is temporary. And the eternal is I'm going to be constantly renewed. That's a promise of the Lord. Verse 17. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. Let's take the word momentary. That's going to be in the temporary column. And then eternal, obviously, is going to be in the eternal column. It's very, pretty much self-explanatory. Let's take the word light and the word weight. Light is not talking about being able to see in darkness. Light is talking about weight. It says that that light is going to be in the temporary column and that weight is going to be in the eternal column, and I will explain it better with this. Our affliction is going to be in the temporary column and our glory is going to be in the eternal column. Here it is. Your light afflictions, if you brought Paul all of your problems, you may think Paul will listen to you and go, oh, bless your heart. I don't think Paul would respond that way. I think Paul would say, well, I hear you. The Lord will see you through that. But your afflictions today, your suffering today is light compared to the glory that God's going to give you. So when it comes to the weight of his glory is weight, it's heavy. There's a lot of it. And he says your problems, your afflictions, your suffering is only temporary. So all that's going to go into the temporary column. What's going to go into the eternal column is the fact that it is eternal. His glory weighs a lot. He's going to give it to you. It's going to be awesome. And that his glory is eternal. Paul didn't think that his glory is going to be happening here. He kept working for it. His task on earth was to just keep the faith. And that's our task. I mean, I've been around 25 years here. I know some of you a lot better than I do others. But I know that I could go up this aisle and look down every row and I could tell a story of some kind of suffering in your life. I know you that well. And I want to tell you, stop and think, this world's tough. Quit looking for it to be easy because it won't be easy. It's not easy. And my goal is not to find some secret to an easy life. My task is in this tough world, I have got to keep the faith. This world needs you to keep the faith. Generations below you need you to keep the faith. When I deal with somebody who's lost a friend, relative, loved one, spouse, whatever, family member, and I've done a few hundred funerals. When you do 20-some funerals over a year for 32 years, you've done a lot of funerals. I've always heard this. And I know that we grieve when Tom died at 31. I hugged a guy this morning whose daughter-in-law died of 21. And the grief of all that, and I do grieve Tom, I miss him, but I can grieve what could have been, and then I can grieve what should have been. Here's what happens when we grieve. Do we miss them? We do. But a lot of time our grieving is regret for not having the focus of spending time with them. Your grief is that you should have focused on other things more. I've heard that more. I wish I'd have told them I loved them. I wish I'd have spent more. The grieving is a loss, but a lot of times grieving is regret that I've not had the focus that I should have had on their life. And I'm telling you, this world's tough. It is tough. And I'm not looking for an easy year, an easy 6 months, an easy month, or even an easy day. Some of you are so mad at the end of the day because you get up and you're expecting an easy day, and then you're mad at the end of the day because it's not easy. Well, let me help you with your frustration. Just get up expecting for it to not be easy, and you won't be mad in the afternoon. You understand? I mean, it's not an easy life. So what's my task? Find the easy section? No. My task is to keep the faith. Don't give up. Keep the faith, because whatever I'm going through is not even comparable to the glory that I'm going to receive. So Paul could go through shipwreck, being snake bitten. I know you're probably thinking he went to a church in Eastern Kentucky, but that's not what happened. All right. Being beaten, flogged, jailed, stoned. All that. Did Paul look and say, man, Lord, give me an easy day? No, he didn't say that. It's just, I keep the faith. I keep the faith. And the glory we're going to receive doesn't compare to any of our affliction that we go through. We focus on that. Here's the way I end this today. I thought about having Logan sing it at this moment, and I didn't. And then I thought about singing it, and I thought, well, I'll not pass on the torment of that to you. So I'm just going to use the chorus. It's a song that I would say the majority of you all know. And I want you to have an imaginary highlighter, whatever color you want it to be. And there's a certain segment of this that I want me and you to underline in our mind. Here's the chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. I'll get your highlighter out, okay? And the things of this world, help me with it, will grow strangely dim. I want you to underline that. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim. One more time. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Keep the faith. Quit looking for the easy day. It's not going to happen. I don't want to be the doom guy up here and doom and gloom person. Quit looking for the easy day. Quit even praying for the easy day. It's not easy here. Keep the faith. He's appointed us to keep the faith in such a confused, complex time. I'm going, where's the common sense? I can look at something and just see common sense, and a lot of people can't. My dad said, I'd rather have horse sense than any sense, is what my dad used to say. And I'm going, there's a common sense, but nobody sees the complexity of it all, right? And it can be frustrating. And there's going to be something in this day for you today or tomorrow. Keep the faith. He has not left you. He is leading you through this. And you're wanting that day of no responsibility. You're wanting that day of ease and all that. Do you understand that's what your eternity is going to be? It's tough times here. Keep the faith. And when you get to glory, it's all taken care of. The weight of his glory doesn't even compare to your light affliction. So focus on what is unseen, not what is seen. I'm not interested in who the world makes. I'm interested in who the kingdom makes. And today, my counseling goes to one line. Let's become the person God has made you to be. How can I help you do that? Because he's made you. and he's made you to follow him. So keep the faith. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And then the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So go home this afternoon. Turn up Hank Williams and sing, "I Saw the Light," to the top of your lungs. All right? No more darkness, no more night. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people today. Lord, we can sometimes get angry at you because you don't give us an easy day. Lord, this old world's out there to trip us up, to trap us, tangle us up. It's tough. Thank you for being our Savior who leads us through. Forgive us that we've seen things, Lord, and then we've let things consume us and have us. Forgive us. Our focus is on you. When we focus on you, this world, it gets strangely dim. Thank you for the sweet promises that we have in eternity and the promise that you have to lead us through here. We give you all praise and glory in recognition that you are Lord and you are Lord of all. It's in the name of you, Lord, our Jesus, that we pray. Amen. If you're here, you've never surrendered your life to Christ, we ask you to come today. There'll be people in the altar to minister to you and with you, pray with you, help you in your decision. If you're here and you're a believer, we offer communion. The bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it in the drink. Before you eat it, would you give him thanks for what he has done for you, his sacrifice? And then you may want to say to him before you eat it, "I'm keeping the faith. My faith and my trust is in you." The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, you stand. Counselors, find your spot. Logan's going to lead us. You respond.